Any of the members chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living in a program of recovery, which is the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there's not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 tradition, there is a possibility group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA tradition and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to report new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to addicts who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts. Recovering from the disease of addiction, it is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we're here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. I'm an addict called Jimmy. And if I could, I would just like to acknowledge God and thank him for, on July the 19th, 1990, putting desperation on an addict who was 44 years old. When he felt families. He felt penniless. He felt hopeless. And he said, if I gotta live like this, I'd rather die. At one point, and I'm a country boy, I came from a little dirt road town 10 miles from Orlando, Florida. But I came up to New York, New Jersey, and I really wanted to be a city slicker. And for a short period of time, I had plenty of money, and I had lots of friends. But I didn't understand the disease of addiction, man. I had chosen a lifestyle that in the end I could not compete. I want to thank the convention committee for inviting me, but I really believe that God is going to work in this here room today. Right? Because the recovery process have taken me from being an NA speaker to an NA messenger. I'm not a speaker. A speaker talk about theory. A messenger talk about experience. Right? So we're talking about I had chosen a lifestyle that I had to go through a painful process to get it. Let me tell you something. Recovery demands that it be a struggle because without struggle, process is stagnant. We're talking about being broken in spirit, in broken relationships. But the recovery says at the point of the break, we'll be stronger in the broken places. So if you're in a broken relationship, and you can endure it, you will be stronger at that point of the break. But we talking about the struggle. I said I'm a country boy, so I used to love to see the eggs hatch, the biddies, the little birds coming out the egg. And if you watch it, it's a hell of a struggle for them to get out of the egg. And everything in me used to want to help them out. And my aunt say, don't mess with them because the strength coming from the struggle. Yeah. Let me just say something. I really want to thank Kevin and Fred and them and you all for being here. Now I'm 225 pounds. On July the 18th, 1990, I was 153. I was a guy who couldn't understand how the guys who were successful dope dealers, how they wind up on beggar's lot. Everybody in here, whatever town you from, has a beggar's lot. Right? And I'm going to tell you the location of it is usually somewhere around a liquor store. Right? The inhabitants, and let me dress it up first. The furniture is basically the same. Old milk crates and old sofas. And the inhabitants is basically the same. They're old timers. Like Jimmy saying, if I could just stop using. If I could just stop putting it in me, maybe I could start keeping some of the promises. But I can't stop now. And Youngblood said, hey, boy, you want to go to the store? And my kids coming by on the way to school who used to wear designer clothes, and I had my suits tailor-made. They coming and saying, hey, Dad, here's a dollar. Won't you get you something to eat? Talking about my granddad, an old spiritual man, died in 1960, was coming to me like he came to me in 1960 when I first put it in. I heard his voice say, don't do it. And then I'm hearing his voice saying, son, you don't have to live like this. But I've never heard of Narcotics Anonymous. Never heard of it. But the desperation, I hated it. I was in a position where people could not help me. It had to be divine intervention. And I was in a lot of pain, and I surrendered, and I got clean, and y'all came in and looked at me and say, he's in bad condition. But we think we can help him like we help thousands of others. If you do what we do, Jimmy, we can make you more stronger. We can make you more spiritual than you ever was. But we're not talking about clean time here. We're talking about recovery, because you were saved for a reason. Everybody that's in this room now was saved for a reason. But the steps take us to our assignment. And I came in this joint. I'm going to tell you my resume. What the only resume I had when I got here, jails in Seminole County, Florida, Cumberland County, North Carolina, Rikers Island, New York, the Tombs in New York, the Brooklyn Navy Yard in New York, Leesburg State Prison in New Jersey, Yardville State Prison, New Jersey, Bergen County Jail in New Jersey, Middlesex County Workhouse. I started my criminal career in June of 1961, and I wind up with 20-some arrests, and I stand before you with 7 felonies. And y'all say, keep coming. Start working the steps, man, and realize that I wasn't a bad person, but I, for the life of me, will put my life on the line for a good feeling. I had one or two ways of killing myself in active addiction, but I come to recovery, and without the steps, I got a smorgasbord of ways to commit suicide. If it make me feel good. I got a sponsor. In spite of because active addiction took me to pseudo-intellectual. Let me explain what a pseudo-intellectual is. A pseudo-intellectual is someone who don't know, but they don't know they don't know. And I always wanted to intrigue people with my intellect, right? But I got serious with the program, and I went to my first meeting, and I said, how long is this meeting? The guy say, 90 minutes. I said, oh, my God. Right? Because I'm a guy who never got on welfare because it wasn't nothing in it for me right then. I ain't got time for it. I'm talking about, I told y'all, short-term pleasure in spite of the long-term consequences. But y'all began to introduce me to the recovery process, man, and I got a sponsor and introduced me to the first step. Not being honest with you, but I had a real bad problem looking at me in the eye and say, Jimmy, you don't do a good job of running your life, man. That hurt. That hurt to be in a grown man body and still can't step up to responsibilities. My wife used to tell me, look at you. I said, well, give me that 20. She'll throw it at me, man. And I felt despicable, but I had to. Wanted to step up and be a man. But my disease had went inside. And it had took away, and I had compromised away my honesty, my integrity, my open-mindedness, my faith, my willingness, my compassionate ability to love people where they're at, not where I want them to be. Not putting on FUBU's, Tigger Figures, and Timberlands, dressing up a shakiness on the inside by outside stuff. Man, once you...
Go ahead, man. There you go. Go ahead, man.
This is my favorite, man. I'm telling you. They told me when I got here, Kevin was here to my first meeting. Fred. Stay here, Jimmy. Get into the steps because if you leave here, the best you could hope for is going to be worse than it ever was. When we discovered that we could not live with or without drugs, we sought help through NA rather than along our suffering. The program works a miracle in our lives. We become different people. Working the steps and maintaining abstinence gives us a daily reprieve from our self-imposed life sentences. We become free to live. Once I was a prisoner, I don't ever want to go back to prison again. So, start getting a little material stuff and I'm working the steps and I had to go to prison clean for an old charge. You know, I'm out there begging, man. Oh, I got a heroin habit. I'm hitting the pipe. I'm taking Sievers and codeine. I'm taking Valiums. I ain't no addict, though, because I don't shoot dope. Y'all addicts. But I started looking at this thing, it don't matter what a hobbies you use. You don't even have to use to be an addict, man. You got a disease. And I say, I'm going to try to live this program to the best of my ability. And I went down to Leesburg State Prison with 5 months clean, and I'm walking the highway 8 miles a day picking up paper, and I hated it. But I had fell and broke my pelvis in 1988, filled the paperwork out in 88. I thank God now, because like I say, if it wasn't not in it for me, I ain't feeling it. God say, you want to be retrained for a job, fill out the paper, but we ain't got no funds now. I'm like, but I filled it out and forgot about it. Now I'm in prison, and I'm walking. I couldn't stand up straight for about 10 years. I'm walking, and I hated it. But I said, God, I want my walk back, and I prayed for it. If nobody play by the rules, the recovery process say, you learn how to play by the rules, buddy. You need to learn to pray a little simple prayer. God, if I can't have what I want, let me want what I have. Let me want for my fellow man what I want for myself. Let me learn to love people where they're at, man. Even whatever their behavior is, let me love them. Let me stop trying to talk about people. Man, I'm like, oh, my God. Y'all N.A. girl look so beautiful. I'm going to get me some. Are you married? I'm like, yeah. Brothers say, look, bro, be the same man in the daytime you at night. You need to build a legacy. I said, well, everybody else doing it. Brothers say, could you stand to be in this program 15, 20 years and you can look people in the eye and say, you haven't messed with anybody else besides your wife? Could you do that? Today, with 16 and a half years, well, I got 15 years and 9 months, and I haven't went outside my relationship in 17 years. That's freedom. But let me just tell you, and I want to shut it down. But anyway, I go to prison, play by the rules. I come home June the 5th, 1991. But they sent me something to remember them by. They put a bracelet around my ankle. I had to be home before my kids. It's real humbling, man. That's real humbling stuff, man. When the phone go off, I don't know whether y'all know about them bracelets, but you got to be, if you go 100 feet outside the perimeter of your yard without them knowing it, the buzzer go off. These cats used to take me, brothers used to take me to meetings, man, and then, like I say, unexpectedly, and I do this, my insides, I'm working the steps, and discover some stuff about me. I'm 47 years old, and December they called me in the office, Voc Rehab, 88, said, how would you like to go to college? I said, I graduated from high school in 1962. I ain't picked up a book in 30 years besides to cut some dope on. I mean, a book wasn't, a book was just something to put some stuff on, you know. And I used to come to meetings early to read Who's an Addict, man. If you struggle, don't worry about it. Don't worry about what people say. You come up here, I ran the meeting to read Who's an Addict. Now, 30 years after high school, 7 felonies, jails in 4 different states, January of 1992, just got off the bracelet. I'm a student in college. Can you believe it? I'm talking about this thing is getting scary now. But anyway, 2 years go by, 1994 May, I got a cap and gown on coming out of community college in Burlington, New Jersey. Everybody crying. All I'm listening at is people used to tell me my psychological profile say I can't change. But the recovery, y'all say, it's a lie. Man, shared at a convention in 1994 on the 7th step, Cherry Hill, New Jersey, came home. I filled out one application, Rutgers University, the largest university in New Jersey. Came home, my wife, that Saturday, you got a letter from Rutgers. Congratulations, you've been accepted to Rutgers University. Majoring in psychology, these brothers, Kevin and them, man, coming to the library, got a dean's list, National Honor Society, 1996. I'm 51 years old, and I'm marching. More will be revealed says that lost dreams do become reality. The 7th step of tradition talks about it. But now, here's the task. Yo, yeah, Fred. Man, what you going on to get your master's? Put in for it. Got accepted. Completed my first year of grad school, man. Now I start looking for a job. I was invited down to Charlotte. I flew the first year they invited me to speak. And then they invited me 3 years. And Kevin and I, we rent a van in New Jersey. A van load of addicts used to leave New Jersey on Friday evening, go down to North Carolina, fellowship with those addicts on down there. I used to have the commitment on Saturday, and coming back outside of Baltimore, I said, you know what? I wish I had never went to jail. Because it became painful for me in the struggle of hearing on the largest university, the prestigious. I done got a bachelor's. I got into getting my master's, and I can't get a job nowhere. I'm getting angry. I believe that my world shrank in Narcotics Anonymous because I see most addicts work in rehabs. I cannot work anywhere besides a rehab with 7 felonies. One of these brothers told me, he said, you know what? I said, what? They said, if you take one of those jails, one of those days of jails, one of those felonies out of your past, you won't be the man you are. Do you believe that God will take misery and failure and turn it into success? The steps put you in position for your blessing. Man, I'm a Vietnam vet. 1966, I was in Vietnam. This guy right here. He said, man, won't you call this number? I said, what number? He says, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. I sat on that number for 2 weeks, man. Because I got low self-esteem, but the steps, man, and I want to call it. And he saw me one day in a meeting. He said, did you call the number? I said, no, I ain't called it. I'm going to call it. I called the number. I went into the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs and sat there. And the man say, you ever been to jail? Let me just tell you this here. Now, I came in the program a liar that got honest every now and then. Today, I stand before you, I'm honest, but I still lie every now and then. I still got a lie in my back pocket. You know, see, a lie travels with the speed of a light. Truth travels real slow. So when he asked me that, I'm like, yeah, man. I said, yeah, I've been to jail. He said, what jail? I said, Rikers Island Tombs. His eyes start getting big, right? He said, and you mean to tell me this is your transcript right here? He said, oh, my God. You can help a lot of people. He said, well, how would you like to volunteer? Well, the program is built on the laws of reciprocity. What I give is what I get. I go into jails. I go into rehabs, man. H&I, Lit Review. Giving back. Helping people. I start volunteering, man, around about July 1997, I'm volunteering. They showing me office etiquette, how to dress, a suit on, a tie on. They showing me all of this stuff, man, how to make assessments. The 27th of this month, 9 years ago, he called me in his office. I said, yeah, doc. It was like every other day. He said, how would you like a career with the federal government? I said, what did you say? He said, how would you like a career with the federal government? I said, you know I got them felons. He said, that'll make you one damn good federal employee. You know. He said, you fit in with us. I went up and I was sworn in that day as a federal employee. I started as a GS-7. I was making $27,000 a year when I started. The doctor retired. I became the supervisor. I got the office in Trenton. Now I'm the supervisor. They send me to D.C. every year for the last 6 or 7 years, Howard University. Got awards from Howard, New York University, inducted in the Burlington County College Hall of Fame. Got a award for every prison. Went on and got my bachelor, my master's in 1998 at the age of 53. And I'm here to tell you, don't let anybody. I say, don't let anybody tell you, you ain't nothing. Don't let anybody take your dreams away from you. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what your condition is. You went through it because God is going to make you stronger in the broken places. Can nobody take your dreams from you but you. The step process say, be in position. Learn how to say no when sometime you want to say yes. I'm talking about stay above the fray. Be who you are. Don't be afraid to go where God wants you to go. It's bigger than the room. The room, the self-centeredness is in the rooms also. A lot of people told me, you crazy, man, in the rooms. You can't go to college. There's a lot of people, man. They didn't have. My wife loved me. I've been married 36 years, and she said, you don't need to go to college. You know we watch Martin on Thursday. Plus, you know how you is around them girls. But in spite of, man, that's why it's so important in the recovery process to go through the steps, because in spite of, God will come to you without conscious reason. We say intuitive, without thinking about it. He'll come to you on your heart when everybody around you can't understand. And you know your assignment. I did not go to college for me. Because this disease don't care nothing about no college. You know, I got a call, man. I got to do a presentation and about this many doctors and PhDs and master degrees. Can't nobody come in the facility but masters. I'm doing a presentation like this in Atlanta, Georgia 2 years ago. My disease came in there and said, boy, how could you be an addict? With all these doctors and stuff. The facilitator sitting there like my man there, he's a doctor. He come up to me, they coming to me, and they hugging me, and thanks for the presentation. And he say, and Mr. Gordon, I say, yes, sir. He say, the wine and cheese will be served in about 5 minutes. My disease say, I told you you was misdiagnosed. You ain't no addict. But the night before in Atlanta, I'm going to shut it up, but the night before in Atlanta, I celebrated 14 years in Atlanta. And I was walking through the airport. See, my wife didn't go this time. And I say, men stick with the men, women stick with the women. I'm big on that in New Jersey. Man, I was walking through the Hartsfield Jackson Airport in Atlanta. Frankie, Beverly, and Mays came in. And it was just as loud as I'm talking. Southern girl, Southern girl. Like, where in the hell is that coming from? So I went in, man. I went in the meeting that day, and I said, look, I said, I'm celebrating 14 years a day, and I want to use. I hear addicts say, I want to use, but I don't want to use the dope. I don't go there, man. I ain't got no power over this disease. I just want to use. And soon as that moderator looked over and said, the wine and cheese will be served in 5 minutes, I looked, and two addicts from that meeting in Atlanta come out to Southwest Atlanta, walk through all of those doctors and say, we came to get you to a meeting. He gave me a hug. I sit in the back of the car, the two addicts from Atlanta. I said, how y'all knew where I was? They say, you say you was at the Doubletree Hotel. We went on the computer. I say, but would you have came out here if I say I want to use a woman? They said, hell no. They said, the reason why we came out here, because you said you want to use. And we know what happened to addicts. You know, you drank beer a little while, but you know what you want to do. You can hit one of them girls a little while, but you know the real deal. And it learned me a valuable lesson in the recovery process. ain't nobody too low for recovery. Ain't nobody too low. I don't care if you're prostituted. I don't care if you're gay, straight. I don't care if they was throwing quarters at you, talking about you. Ain't nobody too low for recovery. And I'm going to leave you with this. Ain't nobody too high for this either. Ain't nobody too high for this here, man. We all the same in here. We all is thrust in here by God. Second step, say you can call her what you want her. Third step, say no you can't. The third step, say we made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God. As we understood him. Stop going where you're looking and start looking where you're going, buddy. Don't put your allegiance. Yeah, I need a second step, but ultimately, I know the condition that I was in is no human entity could bring me and fill me up, man. Put my weight back on, and I'm not talking about the muscular weight. I'm talking about the weight, that humility. Florida, when the hurricane come down there, and Katrina, and the oak trees, and the houses, with the arrogance, they can't move. The little willowy palm trees. If you notice on the TV, the palm trees, they didn't resist the wind. They was almost flat to the ground. And when the CNN cameras came back, houses, hotels, all the strong structures was torn up. And what was standing was the little willowy palm tree. That's what the recovery process make us, willowy palm trees with integrity and humility to go with the current. Don't go against it. Go with it. And wait, like the trees have waited over the winter, and they're waiting on God. They look like they was dead, but now they're coming back to life. You get the principles of perseverance and wait on God, because everybody in here that is hearing my voice right now going to be blessed beyond their wildest dreams. I love y'all.
Thank Jimmy D for sharing the stuff, and thank him for sharing. Thank him for sharing by any means necessary. That was really a powerful message. At this time, I want to turn it over to the second speaker, which is Anthony.
I'm Anthony W. Manatic, and. They told me just to jump right into it. You know, this addict did a great job reading the speaker's statement and the clarity statement. I just have, like, one quick question. Y'all getting y'all convention on? Yeah. Y'all enjoying the convention? Yeah. I'm going to start off real quick. You know, I'm going to cut to the chase. I'm that type of guy. I like to thank Jimmy G for laying the foundation. And, you know, the amazing thing is I was trying to get here to be the first speaker, right? So we talking about being honest. But I got stuck in that marathon workshop. It's called Staying Clean in the Hallway. Y'all been in that workshop too? It's still going on right now. It was going on when the main speaker was speaking last night. And you can tell if the marathon workshop is happening, then that means the message inside the room, man, is not reverberating and reaching, because what comes from the heart goes to the heart. Like I said, I'm Anthony W. I'm an addict. I'm from Washington, D.C. I can't believe, first of all, that the CPRCNA took a risk and gave me like a prime time hit. This is prime time. I'm looking around the room as addicts, all the chairs are filled mostly. Check this out. They usually like put me in the morning or they'll put me at night when the dance is going on. And I know if I had a choice, right, if I was just in the fellowship, you know, since I got in the program, if I was just in the fellowship, I ain't trying to hear no addict talk about no principles. I'm trying to go, like, up in the dance and work on them 6 and 7 steps. Yeah. I said I wanted to go on the dance and then stay caught up in 6 so I can act out in 7. So I can put you on the list in 8. So I can make amends in 9. But I really need to do a daily 10th. So what you got to really understand is when I mess up 1 step, I'd have messed up like 3 or 4. The name of this workshop is Recovery by N.A. Means Necessary. So y'all got to pardon me since I'm going to have fun with this one. I'm going to cut up. They might not never invite me back ever again. But I got you for this one. I got to bring out the logo. You got to see this. A group gave me this. Watch this. I'm talking about by N.A. Means Necessary. A group made this for me and gave it to me, and I take it wherever I go. It done been to Connecticut. It done been to North Carolina. Obviously, it's out in Ocean City. It done been to Baltimore. It done been to D.C. That's where I'm from. When I was in Baltimore holding this in an N.A. meeting, a treatment person came up to me and said, are you in treatment? And you know with my good sharing ass, right? I said, no, I'm not. They said, so why are you carrying that around? And I said, you know what? I am in treatment. And I've been in treatment for like 11 years and 8 months. So what I did last night when I signed in at the registration table, you know, I let my man, you know, that trusted servant downstairs, tally up all my time. And he came up with like 4,244 days clean in a row. That's like 4,244 major decisions a recovering addict like me had to make, not to use. That's like 4,244 times that the sun went up and set and I wasn't high. You gotta be an N.A. soldier to hold this joint, man. Real quick, because we're going to have fun with this, man. Let's do like a little quick group participation before I like this jump into the meat of the workshop. Group participation, show of hands. How many people in here sober? How many people in here sobriety is important to them? All of y'all can leave. Because your ass ain't going to never get sober in Narcotics Anonymous, baby. But if you hit it, get clean, and it was half the room. Yeah, I'm telling on y'all. They had 2 hands up and shit. All like that. Yeah. Gotcha. I ain't going to buy his tape. He talking about me being sober. Man, look. I love this program, and I'm guilty of being an ander, too. Yeah. Yeah, I'm an and. I was sober my first 2 years, and then I got clean my 3rd year. Because that's when I made a commitment to Narcotics Anonymous. So you got to understand, you're looking at a guy that was in 4 12-step programs at the same time. And I got to tell the truth because my sponsor then showed up to lock my ass into the truth. You know, you can't lie when your sponsor's sitting out there looking at you. Yeah, because you know he's going to, like, pull your ass up in that workshop when you leave here, staying clean in the hallway. That's when he's going to pull me up. And I got to tell y'all, I was a member of NA, AA, CA, and CDA. Chemically Dependent Anonymous, Cocaine Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, and Alcoholics Anonymous. Man, I was crazy as shit. Ain't do no step work, ain't have no sponsor, was sponsoring myself, right? Was crazy as shit, y'all. And as a direct result, I used. This is how I used to identify the Narcotics Anonymous meeting. My name is Anthony W., and I'm a rockologist. My name is Anthony W. I'm a crackjack and alcoholic. My name is Anthony W. And I'm just making it back from using. When you identify out Anthony W., I went out. As long as I've been identifying in, I'm Anthony W. I'm an addict. I done stayed in. This is a real spiritual program. Let me tell you how spiritual it is. Because y'all want to hear like my right now story. You know that story that changes right now. Because I can give you the package story. Like if you heard me do this workshop and you done heard me do 10 other workshops, I can tell you that story that never changes. You know, like your using story. If you done smoked crack off a Coca-Cola can in the alley over here and you done went over there and geeked on the carpet, that story ain't going to never change. What we want to hear, and this is where my sponsor is so valuable to me, give us your right now story. What's going on with your good chan ass right now? Nothing. And I'm fucked up with that. I wanted some right now shit to share with y'all. So y'all can go, ooh, ah. What about living this program to the fullest, man, in your life to even out? Because I'm one of them EKG type addicts. You ever seen an EKG machine? That shit all up and down. And then when you flatline, you's a dead. You's a dead person, I wanted to say something else. So I'm like smooth right now, but what the most amazing thing that happened to me like yesterday coming here is I'm leaving Washington, D.C., and I'm all caught up in that city stuff, you know, traffic, I gotta get here, I gotta go to the airport and get somebody that wasn't there when I showed up because I left late. Yeah, second half, first step shit, unmanageability with the life thing. So I go to the airport, I'm running late, they'd have left 2 hours later, and I really wanted their ass to still be there 2 hours after their flight arrived so I could pick them up because I said I would. But man, ain't no addict gonna fly into a convention and wait on your good shine ass for 2 hours. So they made it here, so I'm in my feelings because they left and I couldn't pick them up. Right? So when I get here, what was so spiritual is like, it's something about the water. It's something about Ocean City, Maryland, how it's located in between like the Atlantic Ocean and the Chesapeake Bay. And I'm going to tell you how I really changed and got more humble coming up here. I'm coming down Route 50 and I'm thinking it's like major accidents all along the highway. And those major accidents was called state troopers shooting that gun, pulling everybody over. Because now I'm rushing to get here, and I really needed to take my time. Because y'all ain't going nowhere. Y'all going to have this whether I'm here or not. I was in a workshop last night, and I like to thank that recovering person, Holly B. from Cleveland. Isolation, how she talked about once you get behind the microphone and the tape is rolling, you are a trusted servant, which means y'all trust me to serve you up here. Y'all trust that what I share with you is my experience. Like, because, like, I live in D.C., and see, in my experience is I have personal experience, and I kind of, like, intertwine it with the literature. I'm a literature person, too. Man, when I wake up in the morning, I'm all N.A., all day, all the way. And I'm serious, man. I got the N.A. watch, the logo. I mean, I love this shit. If N.A. was a woman, I would have married her. Square business. Because she everywhere I go. Right? Yeah, she can't cheat on me, even though she know she love y'all too. Yeah. I do want all to myself. But what's so amazing, though, is like when you believe in this program, right? Because, see, the workshop is, and I like to keep that up front, recovery by N.A. means necessary. Recovery. Peep this. According to our basic text, recovery is an active and ongoing change in my thinking and my behavior. That's what recovery is. Here go a green and gold hit for you. It works high and wide. Third step piece. The only way to recover in Narcotics Anonymous is through the steps. So if I'm not doing step work, I don't have an active and ongoing change in my thinking, then my behavior is not going to change. My behavior didn't start changing until I started doing step work. There's no way in the world I can stand here and tell y'all that my behavior changed without my thinking changing. So if I don't change my behavior, that means my thinking is the same. But how do you change your thinking? When you start doing step work, Anthony. And then this what dawned on me last night. You know, when we all come in here, and I know I did, when I first got here, I wasn't in the program. Immediately coming through the door, I was already in the fellowship. But I made a decision because membership, basic text, membership in Narcotics Anonymous is not automatic when an addict comes in the door. You have to make a decision to be here, and nobody can gauge your desire to be here. No matter how many times you done relapsed, if you keep coming, we can't hook you up to an apparatus, which is a machine, to gauge your desire. Only you can make that decision. My desire to stay here is stronger today than my desire to you. Right? So like in every area, and I'm sure, Jimmy, you done been through this, in every area, you got jokers who have been in the fellowship forever. And what they'll do is, when you come in here and you on fire, it's sort of like the highway. I don't care if you go slow. Just stay in the slow lane. Don't go slow in the fast lane. You know what I mean? If I come in here and I want to get involved with this program immediately, and it done took you 20 years to do it, don't hinder me. Don't get in my way. Oh, slow down. You're moving too fast. One step a year. You ain't going to meet you until your fourth year. Right? You ain't, man, look, check this out. They'll say stuff, and then they'll share behind you, too. Yeah, they'll share behind you. I get that all the time. You know what I mean? Well, it ain't about quoting the literature. It's about living it. And that's valid, y'all. I believe in that. But how the hell can you live something that you can't even quote? Here's going Arsenio Hall moment. Things that make you go, hmm. How can you pledge allegiance to the flag if you don't know the Pledge of Allegiance? I'm talking about, man, at least quoting the literature means that you have had some contact with it and you know in a moment of crisis, like who was an addict. Most of us do not have to think twice about this. Our whole life was centered in drugs, the getting and using and finding ways and means. Look, man, when it ain't my payday, it's his. Ways and means. When it ain't his payday, me and him together, we going to his. Yeah, we're going to find some ways and means. So, and see, check this out. So when you come in here and you find out who is an addict, then we're going to tell you what the Narcotics Anonymous program is. These are suggested readings. This is a nonprofit fellowship or society of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. We meet regularly to help each other stay clean. Now, if I didn't know that, I probably can't quote all our readings verbatim, but I know what they are. I know that when I get to a meeting late after the readings, man, I'm a little unsettled. A lot of times we can do our readings and close in the usual. We can go now. You know what I mean? So then after I find out who is an addict, that would be me. Then I find out what I'm a part of, because if you don't know what you're a part of, if the police come and raid this spot right now, and we plotting to take over the world, man, they're going to lock your ass up, too, just because you said, I didn't know. You getting locked up with me. Yeah. So now you know who is an addict. That's me. My whole life was centered in drugs. Now you know what we are. Why are you here? Because we're not all there. But the suggested readings say before coming to NA, we cannot manage our own lives. We had to have something different, and we thought we had found it in drugs. We placed their use ahead of the welfare of our wives, husbands, family, children. Yeah. So now we done told you who we are, what we are, why we're here. Well, shit, how does this work? If you want what we have to offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, then you're ready to take certain steps. These are the principles, all 12 of them, that made this, you know what I mean? Yeah. So then now we done told you who you are, what we are, why you're here, how it works. Well, damn, how do I interact and have some etiquette sitting in a group of recovering addicts? Just as freedom for the individual springs from our steps, freedom for the group springs from our 12 traditions. As long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all will be well. This is a hell of a program, y'all. And I'm telling you, nobody will ever do the work for you in this program. Now, let me tell on my good Shan ass. Back in December, man, I made a decision to change sponsors simply because the old sponsor I had, I shared something with him gut level, and he just felt a need to laugh and joke with a family member about that, then came back and told me about it. Oh, yeah, that stuff you shared with me, man, we was laughing about that. And what it was, I shared with him how I really wanted to become a better father to my daughter. And then he tried to blow it off with this hit here. Oh, man, you've been clean longer than that. That ain't no major stuff. It was major for me. Man, I'm hurt, y'all. You hurt me. A step in the flat book says whether we intended to cause harm or not. If this man told me because I cracked on his shoes, for example, if he told me, Anthony, you hurt my feelings in front of those people, man. And I'd play it off, man, come on, Jimmy G, McLean, 900 years, that was little stuff. If that man said I hurt him, then I need to immediately do nice stuff. Hey, Jimmy, I'm sorry, man, I didn't mean to hurt you. I was just funny because I wanted some attention. See, I hurt his feelings, man. I'd use him to make me feel better in front of y'all. That ain't how this program works. And I don't care how much time you got, especially if you're running around selling clean time insurance. I'm talking about, man, here go the example. I've been clean 40 years. Can you give us more than that? Is that all you got to tell us? And every time you share, it's about your time. If you're caught up in time, man, you done missed the hit. This is a one day at a time program. Look, I got a sponsor now, man. I damn near got to fight him to get an accurate description of his clean time. He don't do that. But this way I'm at. I told my sponsor back in December when I changed back to my old sponsor who said, Anthony, I'd never stop sponsoring you anyway, right? And he live in Baltimore, Maryland, and I love you. Now, I'm just going to put his name out there, France LJ. I love you, man. Thank you. Francel told me, he said, when I came back, and I told him, I said, Francel, look, man, I'm ready to do step work. And what I want to do, man, I want to do one step a month, man. I'm on fire. I'm ready to go. Check this out. This is the fourth month. I'm only on the second half of the first step. And I really wanted to do the fourth step here so I could come to the convention and tell you I'm on my fourth step. I'm not. I'm on the second half. I'm talking about like on page 3 in the flat book, and I love that. And let me, for some clarity, in some parts of the country, it's called a Narcotics Anonymous Step Working Guide. What, I got 5 minutes left? Yes, all right, my man. So you ain't got to put that thing. Just give me the 5 minutes.
That's
yeah.
That's what you got.
Because I'll be saying about your ass, too. But, look, so now that I got 5 minutes, man, I just want to hit you with this piece right here. And then I want to show you my literature, right? Because I believe by any means necessary, it's a literature piece. And this is a true 5 minutes, too. So now I'm down to like 4 minutes and about 40 seconds. You know how they say 5 minutes and your good sharing ass keep going because you caught up in the moment, right? Then the tape done cut off and you still talking. And y'all buy that shit and go home and say, damn, the tape cut off. And you can't get your money back once you leave. So the first step, man, on page 3 in the flat book, you know, and in some parts of the country, I know this is a rewind of the tape, but in some parts of the country, it's called a step working guide, and they always try to censor how you say shit, right? Yeah, the flat book, page 3, and it's in the pilot section, and it talks about, man, how the untreated addiction, how you can come in here for a period of time and get away with not having a program only to find out that your addiction takes you right back to where you used to be. Yeah. Man, hand me my bag so I can show the literature real quick. All 5 pieces of this thing, right? What's up, Sherman? Damn, meeting over, nigga. So when I first got my literature, right, I got the basic text. You know what I mean? It's 2 books in one. Jimmy C., man, down in Atlanta at the World, he said, if your literature ain't falling apart, then maybe your life is. Yeah, that's a deep hit. You can back that part up on the tape. Listen to that joint again. Then I got it works high and wide. So then I was like down with the dynamic duel of Narcotics Anonymous. Then I got my JFT, my just for the day hit. This is a daily hit. Then I had the triple crown of Narcotics Anonymous. Then I got the flat book. The joint that's scaring everybody to death. Scaring to death. So they say, Anthony, why you call it the flat book? Because it's a book, right? And it's flat. So then I had like the Fantastic Four. And then once I got in service, I wanted to be of service. So then I got the 12 concepts, right? So now I got the Fabulous Five. I'm Anthony WNA for life. Thanks for letting me share. Love you, man. Love you.